Nach Yomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Kuf Chaf, Chapter 120. This is read by Binny Marilis. Chapter 120 serves to us as the first of the Shir HaMa'alos prayers. Each of the commentaries makes note of this factor and describe exactly what the idea of the next 15 chapters is in terms of the notion that they all begin with the Shir HaMa'alos. Rashi writes, Sheyomru ha-levim osu al-chamesh asrei ma'alos ha-yardos me'ezas Yisrael ad-ezas noshim. The 15 steps, the levim would stand on the 15 steps, and as it would go down the steps from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Noshim, or up the steps, however you want to see it, because the others do say up, there were 15. Yesh kan chamesh esrei mizmorim shel Shir HaMa'alos. There are 15, and therefore they would say one on each step. Rabbeinu Amru sheyastan David l'ha'alos es hatahom. Kimosh mefarish masechet sukkah. Rashi continues and he says that the Gemara masechet sukkah tells us that 15 were written so that David HaMelech could raise up the tahom. Exactly what that means. So the Radak explains a little bit further. There's a Gemara there that talks about the idea that when they were building the foundations for the Beis Hamikdash and David HaMelech was establishing the foundations, so the tahom, whatever sort of something, however you want to explain it, that existed under the earth there, started to rise up. They were very afraid, and he says that the Gemara writes that Achitofel, who's one of David HaMelech's advisors, wrote down Shem HaMeforosh on a piece of paper, and he threw it into this place, and it went down 16... Alfei Amma, 16,000 Amos. David HaMelech then said that was too far. We need them, we need that water, whatever that is, we need it for the world. And so he wrote 15 Shir HaMa'alos, and for each one, it went up 1,000 Amma, until it was 1,000 Amos so away, and that was close enough. Exactly what that Gemara means, perhaps, is beyond the scope of today's text. The Radak adds, V'yesh lefarish od ki perish HaMa'alos, Ma'alos ha-golos, that the different levels of golos, sha'asidin Yisrael la'alos me'ha-golos el-eretz Yisrael, that in the future the Jewish people are going to rise from the exiles to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, all of these different mizmorim, shir ha-ma'alos, will be on their rising from the golos. Be'ilu ha-shirim ne'amarim al-lashon b'nei ha-golos kulam. And all of these different texts are about the children who exist in the golos, who exist in the exiles. It reminds in each one of them in the ideas of the sufferings in the galus, in the exile. And at the same time, it reminds us the idea of the ultimate salvation and redemption and the promise of it as it comes. Our chapter 120 is very interesting in the sense that if it's discussing the idea of living in a galus and living in an exile situation, so there's some very serious issues that come up with that, and we personally in our day feel them, and I think we resonate very, very directly with the meaning and the intent of our chapter. Let's begin. And our chapter essentially is going to deal with the issue of speech, Lashon Hara, Lashon Remiyah, Sonei Shalom, the ideas of Sfat Sheker, falsities and deceit with words, trickery, and what we would call essentially hiding in the smoke and in the fog. Shir HaMa'alos El Adonai Batzarasa Likarasi Vaya'aneini. Verse 1, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called unto Hashem, and he answered me. The Sfarno says, what's Batzarasa Li? Batzarasa Li is the Golos. What is the Vaya'aneini? What does it mean then that he answered? So the Sfarno then adds, but with the Kibbutz Galios. So the Tzara, the general sense of the Tzara, of the distress, is the distress of being in an exile situation, not living in the perfect situation, which would be living in Eretz Yisrael and in our land as our land for ourselves. And then the answer is the Kibbutz Galios. So he says, essentially, he's saying that I called out, and I will call out in the Galus, and I will be answered with the Kibbutz Galios, with the returning of the exiles. Similarly, the Radak says that even though It says karasi in the past tense, that it happened already. The Radak says, no, it's past tense used for future, that it's a future situation. Okay. Adonai hatzila nafshi misfas sheker milashon rimiya. Hashem, deliver my soul from the lying lips, from the deceitful tongue. What's the difference? Who are we talking about? What's the difference? So we'll know later on who we're talking about. And we'll say that when we have later on in verse 5, Meshach and Kedar, so those will be the different nations with whom which we live, within which we live, in their locations as exiles. That's who he's talking about. Save me from their Sfas Sheker and Lashon Rimiya. What is Sfas Sheker? So Sfas Sheker says the Malbim, Sfas Sheker is that which one speaks about somebody not in their presence. To quote you the language of the Malbim, it says, Kulo ucha lahamtin, I'll get to the more of the Malbim in a moment. Sfas Sheker hu hashamotzi shekarim v'lashon hara shalom b'fanav. It's that which is said, and the lies that are said when the person is not present. And Lashon Rimiya, says the Malbim, these are those who speak directly to the person, Biramaus, with trickery, with deceit. Shebifanav, to his face, mit dame ki ohev. He looks like a friend, a close confidant. Ubikirbo yosim arbo. And in his heart, he really is setting the snare and the trap. So, those are the people we're talking about. Now, in the Malbim's case, he's not talking about specific nations at the moment. He's talking about the general idea of what those two things are. The Malbim establishes that what's going on here is the person is preempting the situation. Says the Malbim, in his Perush there, that the person is not waiting for these things to happen. He's not waiting for the Lashon Hara, he's not waiting for the Lashon Rimiya, the deceit, the Sheker to happen. Rather, he's preempting it, because one doesn't know when that's going to happen until it actually happens. So if that's the case, the only way to match it is to preempt it with the tefillas. Same thing with us today. Very often in our own davenings, we ask Hashem, we beseech Hashem that a person shouldn't speak badly about me. When we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, L'kain etul Hashem yiras Hashem yedema mekalei nafshi yitinam nafshi kifalti yabsachli b'shasach m'shasach tzad nafshi v'kol akmim b'achushim alai ra'am me'afer ha'tzatam m'kakeh m'achshatam. All those who come upon me who desire to speak negatively about me, nullify what they want to do, and don't allow what they want to accomplish to come to fruition. Sort of exactly what we're saying here. The Malbim's case is not unique to one nation, but the general sense. Similarly, is our own tefillos. At the same time, the other mefarshim do attach it to specific nations. Which raises to verse 3, Ma yitain lecha uma yosif lach lashon rimiya. What shall be given to you, and what shall be done more for you through your deceitful tongue? What do you gain from it? The question is, who was he talking to? Who's he talking to? Who is being spoken to? Are we speaking to the nations? Are we speaking to Hashem? What gain do you have in that by virtue of having this go on in the world? So Rashi's approach is, it sounds like, at least from Rashi's approach, that it's speaking to, he's speaking to the Rishayim. What is Hashem going to give you by virtue of the fact that you have this situation going on? Seeing the Malbim, Malbim says like this, Amar kineged hamedaber divrei sheker. He's speaking to the person who is saying these things about them, about Klal Yisrael in the Golus, in the exile. The approach of the Radak and of the Sforno and other Mefarshim is that these are the what you would call the libels that are going on in the exile, when the Jews are blamed for everything, and they are talked down, and they are put into a negative light. The anti-Semitism of today with words. That's what's going on in this text. Says the Radak, this is what it means. Mato elas yesh lecha b'lashon rimiya. What value, what purpose do you have, what gain do you have in speaking this way? What's the value in it? The other Mefarshim agree in that sort of an idea as to what exactly, what do you gain by speaking this way. He's speaking to the Meshechs and the Kedars. And we'll see an interesting Malbim and the Sonei Shalom in a moment. Alternatively, and this is a different approach entirely to this text, is the Gemara in Erchin that the Radak quotes. Amar Keneged Halashon, speaking directly to one's tongue. Very interesting, different approach. What more can be done for you by God or by anything else to protect me or protect you from saying these things? All the other parts of the body are upright and you lie horizontally. It's easier for you. All the other ones are extant. They're on the outside and you're on the inside. God established for you two walls. Achas shel etzem, one of bone, v'achas shel basar, and one of meat, and the person's body. You have the teeth, you have lips. They protect you to stop you from this. V'im kol zeh lo nishmarta. With all of that, you're not careful. So ma yitein lecho, ma yosif lach. What more can we do? It's a personal plea to one's own being about what they are doing, what they are speaking, and how they are saying. One of the great issues and the evils that exists for us as a Jewish people is the suffering we have from Lashon Hara. So it can be that it's an approach speaking directly to the other nations. It simply can be a person crying out what's going to be gained from this. It can be a person even talking to oneself. Chitzei gibor shinunim, im gachalei risamim, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of broom. That on its own sounds like a very unrelated text, but rather we can say that it means that what you're saying, the language that you use, kills. It is like a sharp arrow of the mighty. It's like gachalei risamim. It is coal. It is burning coal. Says the Radak. Himshil hadvarim harayim lechitzei gibor shinunim. He compares through parable these different lashonos like a sword, like a sharp sword. Why? The sharp sword is that which is extant, that which is obvious. It's clearly going to hurt. But the idea of gachalei risamim, the idea that it's like burning embers, so he says like this: Shehem chamim ma'od velo yichavu lizman rav. They're hot for a very long period of time. They don't go out very quickly. Even when burning coal looks like it has cooled, everyone knows if you do a barbecue over coal, don't touch the coals just yet after you finished, right? Even if it looks like it is simply ash, on the inside they're still burning. If one wanted to reignite the embers of a fire, it would not take very long to do such a thing. Thus, what it's saying here, King Divrei Lishon Rimeyash, Mar'eb Bifnei Adam, She'en Libo Ra'alav, Kidei Shelo Yishmer Menu. Lishon Rimeyah, the deceit, looks like that. It doesn't look like it's so bad. I don't have to be careful. Ukashi Pared Mimenu, Yidaber Alav Ra'os. But when the person departs, they speak negatively about them. The Amar'im, Kishnehem Bo. Both of them exist. Hachitzim Vagachalim Nechalim Bo Biyachad, Shnehem. The Malbim has a similar idea, that the idea that you have these different types of lashonos that a person offers, that a person says about other people. Oyeli kigarti meshech. Now, after stating the reality of the situation, he now offers out to Hashem, Oyeli kigarti meshech, this is like his cry out, woe to me that I live among the people of meshech, Shachanti imalei Kedar, that I dwell amongst the people of Kedar. Who are they? Different approaches. They are, that essentially can be viewed as the Bnei HaGalos, the nations within which we exist in the exile. Initially, the Radak says that it can be viewed perhaps as only Bnei Yishmael. He then continues and offers the possibility that it's both Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Edom, Malchus Edom, Malchus Yishmael, the locations within which we live as exiles, and how we exist in those places. We then continue into verse 6. Rabbah shachna li shachna la nafshi im sonei shalom. A bit of a tongue twister. My soul is full of living with the people
who hate peace. Ani Shalom in verse 7, I am peace, v'chi adaber, and that's what I speak about, heima l'milchama, and they respond with war. I live with these people, I'm amongst them, that's not who I am, but that's who they are, this is what they want from me. When I speak of peace, they speak of war. Interestingly, the Malbim offers an addition that throws a very interesting approach to the end of the text. You're listed off there that you have Ohalei Kedar and Garti Meshech, and then you have Sonei Shalom. So he says that I live with the people of Meshech, and I live with the people of Kedar, and then, worse than that, says the Malbim in Vav, Rabbas, Ra'azo Rabayoser, it's worse, Sheshachna la Nafshiim Sonei Shalom, that my soul rests and resides with the people who hate peace. Who are they? Sha'ani Shochen betoch Achei Bein B'nei Yisrael, Vehem Sonim Shalom. The people I live with amongst the Jewish people, forget about the larger community that surrounds me, but rather the people that I am with hate peace. That's worse, that's more horrible, more deplorable, more abhorrent to me than the idea of the Bnei Kedar Meshach. Bnei Kedar Meshach, that's who they are. But Klal Yisrael, that they should be Sonei Shalom, that they should hate peace, they should speak this way too. Ani Shalom, Hagam Sha'ani, Shalom Imohem, that I am peace with them, and I have peace with them. V'chi Adaber Imohem Shalom, when I speak to them, I speak to them with peace. Heima lemilchama. I am true to my word. Tocho kiboro, he says the Malbim. Inside and outside, I am peace. I speak of peace. Heima, they speak of peace. They speak of peace. Listen to his words. Heima yidabru shalom lemilchama. Sha'ani adaber v'tochi kibori, inside and outside, I am the same. Heini dabru shalom, they will speak peace. Ubilibam, but in their hearts, yasimu arvam besinas chinam. They will create the snare of baseless and senseless hatred. V'zegarua mimeshech v'ahalei kedar. Shira'asam giluya. It's worse than the other nations, because them, the other nations, so I know where I stand with those other nations. I know who they are. And I know that I have to be careful and mindful and watchful of them, no matter what. Whether they're speaking truths or whether they're speaking falses, whether they're being nice to me in public, I know who they are, I know what they're about internally and at their essence. But my people have to be tochel kibor inside and outside. It's one of the great things that we suffer of as a people now, and the great tefillah perhaps that a person should consider speaking and saying, if they're concerned, if they're worried, or they simply want to daven, that people should view them a certain way, should think about it a certain way, that they shouldn't be on the lips of other people, to use Perek Kuf Chav, chapter 120.